you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. I don't know if you can hear it, but please excuse the birds and owls in the background. I'm down in Baja California, Mexico. But nonetheless, I wanted to bring you this episode on a topic dubbed Nature's Disinfectant. And both this episode and the next one will be on natural therapies, powerful natural therapies that you can use to improve your health and with very little risk. Of course, this is not meant to be medical advice. Always check with your healthcare practitioner first. But if you're struggling with a health condition, I suggest you use a good search engine like Quant, Quant.com, plus ozone therapy. And you'll be surprised that there are probably anecdotes and possibly even research on how ozone can help. Our guest this week knows a thing or two about using ozone for health. Micah Lau is one of the world's leading educators on the medicinal power of ozone therapy. He's also the owner of the ozone equipment company, Simply O3. His journey began back in high school when he helped his dad develop equipment for ultraviolet blood irradiation, an effective therapy for infectious disease and also chronic disease. A few years later, he dropped out of nursing school and quit working on an ambulance. In 2014, he started developing equipment for ozone therapy because there was a need for less expensive, stable units that people could use at home. Ozone therapy had a synergistic effect to UBI, so it was a good fit for him because he understood it well. Ozone therapy has been used since the 1920s, but Micah and Simply O3 improved and modernized the equipment. Ozone therapy became widely popular and the business took off after getting recognition from Harvard Medical by Dr. Michael Hamblin. At the very end of the show, I'll recap the episode, share some of my top takeaways, and provide all the links in case you want to check this stuff out yourself. All right, on to the episode. Micah Lau, welcome to the show.
Thanks, I appreciate being here.
So Micah is the owner of Simply O3, and you'll find him online at the Ozonaut. So Micah, let's start off with your unusual or non-negotiable things you've done for your health and performance today.
Unusual or non-negotiable? I don't know. Unusual in this space is kind of hard to say because so many people, you know, you're just immersed in this world of like, you're always hearing things that are abnormal. But I think if you're considering more outside of this space, I mean, longer term fasting, like 4 days, that kind of thing. Cold exposure, I'm a huge fan of that. It's really like I had all these asthmatic symptoms. It was kind of embarrassing because I would jump into water and it would be like 70 degrees, perfectly like warm, but my lungs would constrict up because I just wasn't used to it. And so I'd be hanging out with people and then I couldn't breathe for a while. And I was like, I got to get over this. So I ended up doing cold showers to kind of train myself mm-hmm. out of it. But what ended up happening is I got colder and colder and colder, and then ended up getting rid of all my asthmatic symptoms by doing cold exposure. So I'm a huge fan of that. Also great for like mood boost and energy boost. And I just picked up a Morozco Forge, which is nice. The ice bath. And I went and met with the guys in Phoenix. So I'm just super excited about what that has to offer to people. Non-negotiables, I mean, exercise, obviously it's just like one of those things that you can't afford not to do. You know, hopefully we're all going to make it to an older age. So I just view it as it's something I have to do. Diet obviously is in there, and I kind of take like 80% of the time I'm doing good. And then there's, you know, the 10% or the 20% that it's kind of in that mid range or even, you know, cookie here and there. So it's just kind of, that's the route I take for that.
I love that you've upgraded from the cold shower to the ice bath to now the Marasco Forge.
Oh, you can't compare them. I mean, you can get cold exposure. Like, I'll go into the river behind my house during the winter. It's great. But I mean, you have a lot of the year that it warms up pretty quickly and it'll get up to like 80 degrees in the summer. And even right now it's sitting in the 50s, which is cold.
Yeah.
But it's just like the difference between even like 45 degrees and 33 degrees is like crazy. The amount of benefits that you get from that like really cold exposure is pretty different. Yeah. And I like theirs because they have grounding in it, which is kind of more like you would be in a natural state, like a river or a lake or something like that. So I've had good results with theirs.
Yeah, you can get benefits if you spend a lot of time in a warmer, say 45, 50, 55 degree water, even air if you're doing it long enough. But it's just no one wants to spend 4 hours to get the same benefits you can get in 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's it's been a great investment for my health. And I've been proselytizing a lot of people along the way. So a lot of my in-laws, number of employees and things like that are now doing it too. Cause I'm just like, hey, I have more energy. Like mood enhancement, or if my mind's really busy, cause there's a lot of things to think about, it elevates your energy, but it also makes your mind very calm. And it's kind of hard to describe until you experience it. But once you do it once, you're like, oh, that's it. That's why.
But it doesn't get easy. You still have to go through the same mental battle as you're getting into it.
I don't know. I have such a strong association with the benefits that I look forward to it so much. Like, I was at the conference where they had it there and they're like, we're closing down in like 15 minutes. So, you know, I'm like really excited, sprint up to my room, get my swimsuit, sprint back just so I can make it in time to do it. And I don't know. I just have a pretty strong association with the benefits that I'm kind of like, yeah, let's do this. This is going to be awesome.
There's a very clear cause and effect and I guess introduction of it, and then the feeling you get afterward. It's not like you're waiting 4 days or 4 hours to feel better after you do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's immediate. So this last time I did it, I was in Phoenix and I was at their facility, the Marasco Forge one. And just sometimes I go on these trips so I can take a step back from the business and kind of think of like, what are we doing in the industry? How are we providing value? Kind of where are we going and some of the direction there? But then I create like this list, you know, you kind of have these big concepts and then, you know, all the problems that you have to solve beneath that. So my mind starts to bounce between them, you know. A lot of nights I'll just be laying in bed at midnight and just kind of thinking about it or whatever. And so my mind gets really busy with all these things. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know, at some point, maybe not at all points, but at some point in our lives, we always have that really busy mind and it totally just wipes that out. So it's like, and Thomas Seeger, the guy that owns the company, had a good line. And I know this is not why we're doing the podcast, but something I'm passionate about because I think it's a great product, is that you can't take that mind into the forge. So their ice bath, essentially, when you go into it, you come out calmer, more elevated in terms of energy person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that is not the topic of this interview, but it's fascinating and I'm excited to try it at some point. But how did you get interested in a totally different subject that is ozone?
Yeah, with ozone therapy, it came from my dad, kind of the interest in it. So my brother, when I was younger, was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. And it was kind of a more rare form. I know there's a lot of different forms of it that can be rare. But anyway, he had a form that they hadn't really worked with much. So there weren't a whole lot of options for him. You know, he went through Johns Hopkins and had the best medical care that there is and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, he was a guinea pig for a lot of different stuff they wanted to try because, you know, it's a rare brain cancer. So they take the opportunities where they can and they don't know what to do. So they're like, well, there's this experimental kind of thing. And we hadn't been, I mean, we always had a natural flavor in our family, but my brother particularly, he was a bit older than me. He's actually 18 years older, significantly older, but he wasn't in that mindset of natural medicine. So my dad took it on himself to be like, well, what else is out there as far as options for this, or at the very least improving quality of life, you know, because he's going through chemo, brain surgeries, like all that kind of conventional route. And so that kind of opened up the world more to this industry, which is like natural medicine and the natural interventions that you can find, where we were more just kind of focused on diet and that kind of stuff. And my parents were very much like, we didn't go to the doctor. We didn't really go to the dentist. We just lived, you know, spent a lot of time outside, ate healthy food, and that was kind of our life. But it opened up the natural world. And just like, wow, there's like not only like diet and lifestyle and those kinds of things, but there's actually interventions that you can do that drastically improve quality of life. So, it's kind of a long story. So I'll just kind of cut to the chase, I guess. We found some things that helped my brother with quality of life, like hyperbaric, oxygen, ozone therapy, some of those things that as he was going through some of the aggressive things that he was, they were really helpful in helping him after a brain surgery, because he had like 8 of them, to heal back up. And then just to have more energy and clarity and that kind of thing. And then this nurse, because my dad was going through that, kind of paradigm change a little bit. This nurse at our church came to my dad because he was a serial entrepreneur, not like one of those super highly successful ones, but kind of came from a blue collar background and just very tenacious, like always wanted to solve problems in a way that other people didn't. So he was very practical. So this nurse came to the church and told him about this therapy called UBI. And they were this nurse was a missionary. I forgot to mention that, but he told him about UBI, ultraviolet blood irradiation, which is where you pull out some blood and you expose it to ultraviolet light. And they were using it in the field in Togo, West Africa, because they just don't have the conventional things that we do for like infections and stuff like that. And he's like, hey, we were getting rid of like rabies in people that were late stage, wow, that are usually goners. Infections that were really sepsis, like stuff that's like really tough to cure even in our country. So he was kind of intrigued by that. And he was like, well, that sounds like BS, but you know, as a skeptical guy, he went into it and looked at it and found that there was a lot of literature on this stuff. It just wasn't very popular. And it has been at different points in history. And it's gained a lot of popularity in the last 15 years, I would say mostly because of him. And then Michael Hamlin at Harvard. But anyway, I was working with him on the UBI, and I was in high school at this point. And he kind of involved me on everything he did. So we had a pretty close relationship in that sense. But a lot of the doctors that I talked to were into ozone therapy. So I was like, kind of intrigued by that, because I knew about ozone as a pollutant, ozone, like the kind that you can't breathe. And I was kind of like, well, how does that work that you can safely apply something that in my mind, without understanding it, like I kind of just viewed it as like this thing that wasn't good. So I was intrigued by that, because they were saying like, well, it works for herniated discs. Well, it works for dental infections. Well, it works for like people with Lyme disease. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So I started to research it and got into it and started to understand kind of the fundamental actions of ozone and why it's able to do that. And I mean, spoiler alert, we'll get into it, but it's basically just a stimulus. You can't breathe it. You can put it in other parts of the body. A stimulus that your body recognizes and your body responds with healing. But yeah, essentially I did a lot of research, and then I got together with a local engineer to create a new device, because a lot of the devices on the market were super expensive and just the whole process was really complicated, like not very good service. And then just going to get oxygen without really any support, not really any educational materials thereafter. It was just kind of like, go and talk to a doctor that may or may not know about your specific machine. And like, there's just a lot of these barriers to it. So I wanted to make something that was a good machine that was stable, a bit less expensive. And then also that there was kind of all this ancillary education and taking all this research that was out there and condensing it into, well, this is what this means for you. So I kind of became journalistic in that sense. And that was my start into ozone therapy, and from a business side, and the, you know, kind of the passion for it began a few years before that.
And where along there were you actually using yourself?
Pretty early on. I can't remember. So I started working with the actual equipment in 2014. And I had probably started getting like some therapies and different applications of it in like 2009. Mm-hmm. So like 4 or 5 years before I actually started working with the therapy, I was doing it.
I see. And like yourself, when I was discovering ozone, probably on podcasts or in books or something, I first came across the, is it called UBI?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also other types that are performed in the clinic. And it seemed like it's very promising, but a lot of people don't have access to clinics, or it's too expensive, or there's other barriers to entry. So I didn't realize until only recently that at-home systems can be very effective and also much more affordable over the long term.
You have to figure out what is best for you. And like I said, there's a lot of different problems that it works with. Like, it's an antiseptic, but it also stimulates growth factor, but it also produces that hormetic response. And it just depends on where it's applied, essentially, because different tissue has different mechanisms for responding to it. So that's why it can be used in a lot of different applications. But yeah, I mean, if you have a herniated disc, you can't do anything at home for that. But if you have like a chronic disease, or you're looking like you into optimization athletically, what can I do to enhance, you know, my body so that I can perform better just mentally or physically? Yeah, there's home systems for that that probably don't have the same potency as doing an intravenous ozone therapy. But when you're considering overall value, which is like, well, what's the cost of a IV therapy? It's like $250 to $1,000. Whereas like the home equipment, you can get an entire setup for like $1,500 and then you're good for the rest of your life pretty much. So and that can be for your entire family. So I think from that value standpoint, and then the time standpoint, which is it can be done in under 3 minutes per session, whereas an IV, you have to go into a doctor's clinic. But if I have a chronic disease, let's say I have Lyme or mold toxicity, I'm still going to go get my IVs. I know I'm kind of the ozone guy, so I'm just into this world, but I would still do the 6 to 10 IVs that are kind of standardly recommended. And then I would supplement with the ozone at home. But I do think that the home applications have more value overall, if you're just considering it from a value standpoint.
Yeah. With a lot of these natural therapies, the more often you can use them, you can pulse them, tends to correlate with a better outcome.
So like kind of stacking the different things that you can do?
Yeah, stacking them. Or if you can get multiple sessions in, say a session every day, even if each session isn't quite as effective, that might have better effects over the long term than just having one session in a clinic and then never going in again.
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you're doing IVs, like there's some people that respond off of the first one, but it's usually like 5 or 6. And a lot of the research is around 6 to 10. But 5 to 6, if people are sick, that's generally when they start to be like, oh, wow, I have a lot more energy on this one. But yeah, I think the home one. So like with a researcher doctor, and we'll get into the different applications. Well, let's just say rectal ozone, huh? Why don't we just throw that out there? But basically, I always tell people it's not glamorous, but it's effective. And the reason for that is that our digestive tract is essentially created to absorb things, send it to the liver, and distribute it throughout the body. So when we put ozone in there, it interacts with the antioxidant buffering system, which is why you can put it there, but not into the lungs. The lungs don't have that. And that creates a stimulus to the rest of the body that increases oxygen efficiency, improves, it is an immune modulator. So if your immune system is out of whack, either too high or too low, it levels that out. So it's has a balancing effect there. And basically what that means for people is you have more energy because you're more oxygen efficient, which is going to create more ATP. And then you're just less likely to get sick. Or if you are sick, your immune system is more capable of getting rid of what's present. But yeah, I think the benefit of doing the rectal insufflation, and there's vaginal, there's ear insufflation, there's ozone water for like infections on the skin. There's a lot of different ways you can apply it. So it's kind of multidimensional in that aspect. But yeah, you can definitely get a compounding effect doing it at home and just doing it on a more regular basis, because it's kind of like exercise, where if you keep doing it, your body just gets stronger. You don't want to do too much because then your body is only breaking down. It's not getting the time to repair. But it's the same principle with hormetic therapies. It's the poisons in the dose. So we just want to make sure that we're getting the largest benefit for the least amount that we can possibly do.
Because ozone itself is an oxidant that the body treats as an antioxidant after it goes through the hormetic process?
It doesn't treat it as an antioxidant. So the ozone goes in, like, let's say you are doing a rectal insufflation or an IV, like it can literally be the eyes. It's like the eyes and the lungs are really the two spots you don't want to put it in. Mm-hmm. And there's like systems to make sure you're not breathing it or it's not going into your eyes or whatever. So it's like, it's pretty easy to do. But it interacts with the antioxidants that are present in the body. So let's say it's in your blood. There's an antioxidant defense system there. So the ozone goes in, interacts with the antioxidants. This creates what's called a mild acute oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is a good thing if it is done in the correct way. So for example, exercise creates a mild acute oxidative stress, which stimulates the NRF2 pathway, which is a pathway for healing. On the other side, you could smoke a cigarette, which is another form of oxidative stress, but it's not the same because it basically just creates all these excess free radicals that don't do any benefit because it's signaling a different pathway than the NRF2 one. Mm. So it's signaling the correct pathway, essentially, that's more similar to exercise or the ice baths or something like that.
Before we talk more about the different applications and benefits and use cases, why is ozone therapy not widely known if it has so many different potential uses and positive interactions?
It comes down to incentive for producing ozone. For example, I actually had this thought yesterday, and I'll go into drugs a little bit real quickly. Like, the reason drugs do so well is because they hit on human behavior very strongly. So there's this formula, you know, as like a business owner that we know about, that's for value, right? So on the top, you have the outcome and the likelihood of achievement. And then on the bottom, you have time delay, how long it takes to get those results, and then the effort and sacrifice. So drugs fit really well into that paradigm because it's hard to conceptualize long-term benefits when I'm feeling really good instantly. So my behavior, I'm essentially fighting my biology to be like, no, I probably shouldn't do that because I have to think more long-term than just what I'm feeling immediately. But the problem is it's just symptomatic coverage. So it's not really helping with that kind of stuff. And then that happens to coincide with, well, since it gives you these immediate benefits that long-term are detrimental, but it doesn't actually solve the root problem, you have to take it for the rest of your life. So you make a lot of money if you can produce something that does that. But ozone therapy on the other side, there's just not a ton of money in it, essentially, is what it comes down to, because you get your generator. Well, you have a fixed cost there. You spend couple thousand bucks and you're all done. And then you have the oxygen, which you have to replace every 6 months for $15. So how do you monetize that in a way that's going to incentivize somebody who's really business oriented to get it to mass market? Mm-hmm. It's not super likely. And then on top of that, I think there, you know, this goes a little bit more into the maybe tinfoil hat conspiracy, but I do believe that there are incentives because like drug companies are making so much money that they don't necessarily want things that get to the root problem. So I think that is like, why would I look at ozone therapy as a viable option when I can give them that this drug that they have perceived benefits from that I'm going to make 100, 200 times more money from over the course of the person's lifetime. Yeah. So I think the incentive is one part of it. It does have a ton of research. There's a decent amount of credible research. And then beyond that, there's like 11,000 papers, reviews, studies that are done on ozone therapy. And the cool thing is it's done all over the world. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like these independent research organizations or even some universities like in Italy and in China that work with it and study it. But the cool thing with it being all over the world is that shows the replicability of it, because you don't have it just localized into one company that's doing the research and maybe they have a bias, yeah, you know, or something like that. So I think that really lends to the credibility of it. But I think it primarily is incentive and money is just not enough for somebody to be like, I want to bring this to mass market. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would love to, but it's kind of like you're fighting, say you have a company that does $1 million a year, which is great. That's phenomenal. But you're competing against companies that are turning billions of dollars every year. Like it's hard for us to conceptualize how much money that is. But it's a lot. It's very different, yeah, you know, you're just playing a whole different game at that level. So Yeah, I guess that's my answer to why it's not more well known.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And after that, what are some of the things you see being used for, the different conditions or amongst healthy users? Why do people turn to ozone? You mentioned a couple of them already.
Yeah, usually it seems for us that it's doctor referral or like these podcasts where people kind of learn about it. So initially we were like 99% doctor referrals and then like 1% people on the internet or like a podcast or something. And then it's been transferring to where maybe it's more 80-20, 80% are doctor referrals and 20% is like, you know, the podcast or just the general growing internet of information on this subject. But I think a lot of people get into ozone therapy for chronic disease, primarily Lyme, mold, autoimmune infections, cancer are the big ones, I would say. And so the symptoms that people usually have, brain fog, fatigue, and digestive issues. Mm-hmm. And so a doctor will then say, well, I want to get you going on ozone therapy, because what that does is the patient gets, you know, not immediately, some people do, but, you know, within a few treatments, they start to feel better. That gives them a lot more energy, clarity, which is really cool because that encourages them to keep on going down this road to do the things that they need to do. So the doctors love it from that standpoint. And that's why. And then we also have this like growing market of biohackers. I mean, it was kind of funny because early on we had a number of like professional athletes that would like buy equipment here and there and that kind of stuff. But it was more people who kind of had an in with doctors or had an in with somebody that knew a lot about this different stuff that would like enhance their performance. Mm. And then it seems to be getting more to where a lot more people are aware of it. So maybe it's not like a professional soccer player or cyclist anymore, but it's people who are like, hey, I just love, you know, doing my sport and I'm an amateur at it, but that's great. Or I just like to work out. So we're getting a lot of those people that are just looking to optimize in those departments. And then you get people that, you know, like yourself, it's just like, how can I become better? How can I have more clarity? How can I prevent disease? All those kinds of things. But those will be the primary reasons why people start to look into it.
What would you say like a summary of the overarching benefits are, like conditions related to pain, conditions related to inflammation, that kind of thing?
There's essentially four different categories of ozone therapy. You have chronic disease slash like just the optimization. So that's like, I'm just stimulating my body to perform better regardless of where it's at. And then you have dental applications. They love it because it's an antiseptic when it's used in the mouth. So it's able to kill off like bacteria that's in cavitations and that kind of thing, or like help with receding gums because it stimulates growth factor. You have beauty care, which is like microneedling, and you might be familiar with like PRP, but essentially if you mix in the ozone with that, it releases 8 times the amount of growth factor from the platelets than you would without it. So it's a great adjunctive to like PRP and some of the other beauty care stuff for the skin, reducing wrinkles. Ozone oil has been shown to promote collagen restructuring or growth. So your collagen actually increases. And then there's like injections for pain and herniated discs, like into joints or into scar tissue that needs to be broken up. So there's like those four primary groups, and it does have different like mechanisms of action based on how it's applied and what tissue it's applied to. But I'm assuming you guys are more interested in more like the chronic disease, like biohacking kind of stuff. Would that be correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as that goes, I like to start with what people experience from it, and then we'll get more into like what it's actually doing. So usually it's increased energy, increased like clarity, just mentally, increased stamina. So that's why the athletes use it. So you might not notice it. Like say you go and do an ozone IV and then you don't notice it afterwards, but then if immediately afterwards, but then if you go and work out and play basketball or do whatever, you'll be like, oh wow, I just played for an hour longer and I don't feel very tired. I've had that happen dozens of times, and that's a really cool feeling. So increased energy, clarity, reduction of pain, if there's pain present, because of working with the NRF2 pathway and some of those things, those are working on some of the pain signaling, and helping cut the inflammation. Yeah. So those would be kind of the primary things that people experience from it. And then as far as like what the benefits are, so we mentioned increased oxygen efficiency. So when you're born, you have the most oxygen efficiency that you'll ever have in your life. And what that is that's not like VO2 max or the amount of oxygen that we're breathing in, right? That's just speaking quantity. But this is addressing, well, how well are you metabolizing that oxygen? Because there's a couple of ways it can go. It can either be used to create energy, or it can be used to throw wrenches into the system and cause more oxidative stress. So you have the most, you have the highest amount of oxygen efficiency when you're born, and that degrades as you get older, all the way up into your death. So with ozone therapy, what they found, this is Dr. Frank Schallenberger, Dr. Lamberto Ray, and you can look those guys up. They have a ton of stuff on this, but it increases your oxygen efficiency, which is your ability to metabolize oxygen and use it for creating energy. Mm-hmm. So that's why you get that boost of energy, that boosted stamina, those kinds of things, because everything that you're doing is just, or everything you're breathing in is just going to be used more efficiently. So that would be kind of benefit number one. Immune modulation, and this is why like cancer patients that are immunosuppressed and people with autoimmune disorders, which is the immune system attacking itself, it works with that because it's immune modulating. So your immune system, you don't like always want to be boosting it or suppressing it. You want it to be where it's supposed to be. So ozone therapy helps by just calming down the immune system or improving it to where it's supposed to be at. And that's a part of the stimulus aspect, that the ozone isn't going in and modulating your immune system, but it's stimulating your body to recognize, hey, I need to heal this part of my body up. Then there's some detox benefits to it, especially through like the rectal insufflation, like gut dysbiosis and leaky gut or like liver stuff. It can help with that. The IV portion, maybe a little bit, just in the sense that it's helping with gas exchange. So that's where there's like, you know, you have all these nutrients and like the cellular activity that's happening in your cells. So they're creating byproducts and they need new stuff coming in. So it's kind of like a loading dock where they're loading off the bad stuff and they're taking the good stuff in. So ozone therapy helps with that process. And another byproduct of that is the improved microcirculation. So your red blood cells actually need to be able to bend and fold to fit through some of those really small capillaries that are even smaller than a red blood cell in terms of just narrowness. But it helps with the blood cells to be able to do that. So blood flow is more efficient. And it's really good for like microcirculation or circulation diseases. So peripheral vascular disease, like where blood is just isn't getting to the area that it needs to. Cells start to die off. It creates an infection. Ozone therapy can mitigate that and actually get rid of that pretty easily. And there's a ton of research on that. So it's a huge boost for microcirculation. But those are kind of the four things. Oxygen efficiency, immune modulation, some of a detox effect, and then microcirculation.
What makes ozone, O3, more effective than oxygen for these benefits? If it's going into the body and oxygenating tissues, why O3? Why is O3 better?
Well, it's not more effective than oxygen. So oxygen is required to live, but what it's doing is it's improving like the systems that are utilizing oxygen. So it's enhancing our ability to utilize the oxygen that we're breathing in, but it's not like more effective than, if we're talking on a molecular level, you need oxygen to live. Yeah. But the ozone, again, is just the stimulus that's helping the body to work more effectively. So with the oxygen, but are you kind of asking like, why is it better than just doing like deep breathing or something like that?
Sure. Or just inhaling oxygen, like pure oxygen out of the oxygen tank to get similar oxygenation of tissues.
Just because you don't get the same effects that it does. So it doesn't, like, just breathing in oxygen isn't going to improve your oxygen efficiency at a molecular level, or it's not going to, you know, there's probably some benefits to it. And deep breathing, I'm a believer in, I do it and all those kinds of things. I think it's just one of the tools in the toolbox. So I'm not saying like, this is the silver bullet that you need to take for all these problems to go away. But it's like, if you want to live a healthier life or look at some of the midline chronic diseases you have and work with them, it might be a good option. But yeah, I think that it's just doing something different in that respect. And we get that question about like hyperbaric oxygen a lot, where it's like forcing oxygen into tissues. That's really helpful, but it's not necessarily making that oxygen. It's not helping the body to utilize that oxygen better. It's just spreading the amount that's in there.
Yeah, that makes sense. One of the big distinctions when I was looking at different protocols and ways of administering ozone is whether or not it's systemic versus local.
Yeah, so systemic versus local, what that means is there's treatments, like a systemic treatment is going to benefit your whole body because it's doing the four things that I just mentioned, which are like the oxygen deficiency and all that. But it's benefiting our entire body because it's interacting on a more cellular level, let's say. And then there's local treatments where ozone can be used. So say you do have like a herniated disc or a bad knee or something like that. You can push the ozone into there and it's going to help with some of the growth factor, the reparation and stuff in that localized area. But since it's not put into an area that it can be distributed throughout the entire body. And I think I actually forgot to mention that ozone has a very fast reaction time. So once we put it into the colon or into the blood, it reacts within milliseconds. So the ozone isn't actually like going through the body. It creates a cascade effect of stuff. So we can put it into the joint, but that's not going to give me a total body benefit. Or we can put it onto the skin, but that's not going to give me a total body benefit. Now, if I have an infection there or I have a bad knee, I can put it there and it's going to help with some of the things going on. But that would be a local treatment of ozone.
So the main ways of applying it are via insufflation, ozonated water, ozonated oil. What else?
So for the systemic treatments, you have intravenous, you have vaginal ozone, and you have rectal insufflation. Those are the only three that are going to give you that systemic benefit. And then for the local treatments, you have ozone. If we're just talking about at home and not considering like the injections, you have the ozone oil, you have the ozone water, you have ozone cupping and limb bagging, which are for infections. You have BOO, which is breathing ozonides. So that's when you bubble the ozone through an oil. It actually deconstructs the ozone, but that creates ozonides that are safe to breathe because they're not going to interact with the lung tissue now or oxidize it. So that's for the lungs. Trying to think. I mean, there's ozone saunas, but I really think those are primarily for skin benefit. I did read a research article that was interesting recently, but it didn't have a control on it. So we weren't sure if it was from the sauna or from the ozone. But it was interesting nonetheless, because I've always said, like, I don't think ozone saunas do anything, but I might eat my words in 3 years and that's okay. I hope I do.
Yeah.
The more the better, in my opinion. But yeah, those would be kind of the primary local ways that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. And when people are looking into buying an ozone machine, ozone system, ozone kit, what do they need to look for? Like, what are the components? And what are the, if you were to go out and survey the market, what would you be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, me knowing what I know now, I'm bad at self-promoting, so I'll say that off the bat. So I try to put myself in the shoes of people listening, but if I'm looking for equipment, I'm looking for something that has, like, because it doesn't work for everybody. Obviously, nothing works for everybody. I can't think of anything that would. But so like with Simply O3, the reason that we put in a 6-month money guarantee, which nobody else does, is because we want people to be able to try it for 3, 4, 5 months and see if it works. And if it doesn't, just send it back. So we just wanted people to kind of have that risk reversal where they're just not like, oh, I could get this and spend however much, like 1500, 2000, somewhere up that alley. And then it doesn't work for me. And then I'm just out on the money and this guy took it. So it's kind of like, well, we don't want that to happen. So we want people to try it out. And if it works for them, great. And if it doesn't, just send it back for a refund. So I think that's one thing. Ultra pure ozone, which is like a safety aspect. So that's ozone is a strong oxidant. So it can break down materials in our body. We have the antioxidants, which I mentioned. But when you're looking at like metals or rubbers or things like that, and it interacts directly with the rubber or the metal, and that creates off-gassing, which essentially means that you have a part of that rubber or a part of that metal or a part of that plastic that's now going to be going into your body. So you don't want that. So you want equipment that is ultra pure and it's in the ozone that's coming out of the machine. Then the other thing, like I said, education surrounding it is really historically been bad. I think we've bridged a huge gap going from like, hey, here's 10,000 studies on ozone, to like, hey, here's videos on everything that make it really easy to break down and understand. And this is exactly how you do everything. So that's kind of where we've gone with it, is just having a lot more surrounding education about how to do it, the best ways to apply it, like the best protocols. And these aren't things that we've written, but again, we've just taken what's out there and condensed it down for people. And nobody else has really done that yet. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, I think those are three really big things if you're considering doing ozone therapy. I mean, we're creating some new stuff, like I mentioned before the talk, that hopefully will come out in like less than a year, but like totally digital automated. So it just makes it easier. You don't have to worry about like what exactly like dose do I have to get? Cause you can't right now, you kind of have to change the regulator and some other small things, which is pretty easy to do, but we want to provide some more value to where you just take all those steps out. And then just have like doctors on staff that can consult with people and that kind of stuff.
How important is the max possible dose, the gamma of the system?
The max possible dose?
Yeah.
If you're at home, I would say zero importance. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the only, because here's the thing is like, if you're considering like total ozone, like a dose of ozone, it's not just the concentration of ozone. So concentration, we measure it in micrograms per milliliter. Usually it ranges from 1 to 120, right? But that's just half of the equation, because on the other half, you have volume. Because we say how strong it is within a given space, micrograms per milliliter. Yeah. So you can increase the volume to actually get the same dose of ozone.
Yeah.
So since you have those two factors to play with, I don't think that it really matters, especially in like ozone water. I see so many videos on being like, oh, you want to saturate it to the most. Well, it saturates at like 40 gamma in 12 minutes per 8 ounces. And you can just always increase the amount of time that you're putting ozone into it. So at the end, it doesn't end up making a difference. I just don't think it's really, you know, we tend to think that more is better or something up that alley, right? But understanding that aspect, and that especially with ozone therapy, more is not better. It's kind of like the exercise thing, mm-hmm. I mentioned, like working out for an hour a day, great. Working out 8 hours a day, bad. Yeah. So if you're trying to do a ton of ozone, you're actually going to increase your oxidative stress, and it's not going to have as much benefit to you and will have some negative effects. So that's kind of the dosing thing, but yeah, I just don't think it's a big factor for people doing it at home.
Mm-hmm. You'll probably have to correct my understanding here, Micah, but the essential components of an ozone system would be, first of all, the oxygen tank, and then a regulator to alter the flow of the oxygen to the ozone generator. And the ozone generator produces the ozone with the adequate amount of oxygen. And then depending on how you want to apply it, then you have a different attachment on the ozone generator.
Yep. So you have an oxygen tank that feeds an ozone generator. So the oxygen goes into the generator, pulls apart the oxygen molecules, it recombines into O3, and you can control the rate at which that happens, which sounds complicated, but it's really not. Essentially you do need those components. You need the oxygen, the generator, and then some sort of accessory for administration. So if you're doing it to the ears, you might have like the ear insufflation device, whereas if you're doing rectal ozone, you'll have like the catheter that is made for that. We have like how-to guides on everything. So we go through like videos, there's written, there's like multiple different formats for like different types of things that people are doing. So we essentially have guides that walk through everything, because I've always found like when I would get people on the phone early on and they'd be asking about all that, I was like, dang, this is kind of hard to answer all these questions without giving visuals. So I was like, well, I'll just make all the videos and just make them as good as I can. So the visuals on the videos make it super easy for people to get started.
Yeah. I checked out your YouTube channel and the videos they answered most of my questions, and they're also very clear and concise.
Yeah. I think they could probably be better, but I think they're pretty good. They're probably the best out there on this topic.
Yeah. The most modern too.
Yeah, for sure.
What do people stack? Like, what other modalities or therapeutics do they stack with ozone? You mentioned hyperbaric earlier in the conversation.
Yeah. Well, again, that kind of goes back to what you're trying to accomplish or what you're trying to do. Let's say athletics. So ozone therapy, probably like rectal insufflation is going to be the best. And then you can do IVs from time to time if you want. Molecular hydrogen is pretty common. So the use of that after a ozone therapy treatment. I mean, there's just so much stuff that people are doing that it just, you grab one person and they'll have something totally different from the next. As far as chronic disease goes, a lot of people are trying to do some sort of detox in combination with ozone therapy, because with ozone therapy, we're getting the system up and running. So it's essentially going to start trying to offload a bunch of crap. And you want to make sure that your detox pathways, like your lymphatic system, and that your gut is clearing it out effectively. So they'll be using binders. They'll be using like coffee enemas. They'll be using a lot of that stuff is super common with anybody with a chronic disease, especially mold toxicity. But yeah, I guess those would be kind of the big ones, is detox, and then molecular hydrogen seems to be pretty common as well.
And that molecular hydrogen goes after, so you're not quenching the reactive oxygen species and the free radicals before.
Yep. So 30 minutes after a treatment is safe.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise you would just mitigate some of the benefits that you would get from the ozone therapy itself. So that's why.
Speaking of safety, are all the different modalities equally safe? All the different ways to you apply ozone?
Yeah. I mean, there, I can't say that definitively, because, but everything that we teach on, yes. But then if you go outside of that, there's people teaching like DIV, which is direct intravenous ozone, which is, I'm just putting the gas right into my vein. Whereas that's actually a condemned method, by like scientific boards. Obviously people can do whatever they want, but from a scientific perspective, they don't like it because it has adverse side effects. Like, a lot of people get anxiety, first of all, but then secondarily, like, tight chest, heart palpitations, dizziness, things like that. And I would say, you know, I know doctors that do 50 or 60 of those a day. And so those side effects aren't very common, but it's like the only administration form that's like, does have side effects on a semi-regular basis. So even if it's one out of every thousand, that's way more than like doing the major auto hemotherapy where we pull the blood out, mix it with the ozone, and then put the blood back in. So I would say that nasal insufflation, which we don't teach on just because you have to, so you have to set up these protocols in a way and teach on the things, because there's, out of every thousand people, there's one person that's going to do it wrong. So you might have 999 people that do it right, but you can't teach on it because one person will do it wrong. So nasal insufflation, you can go on YouTube and you can look it up. We don't have any education on it, but essentially that's for a nasal infection, especially chronic nasal infections. The issue is you don't want to breathe it. So you have to take like a huge breath to make sure you don't get any ozone like below the head into the lungs. So because of that potential complication, if you accidentally breathe it in, it's gonna make you cough a lot. It's gonna oxidize the lung tissues. I've never seen permanent damage with it, but for people that are asthmatic, it can cause like a severe asthmatic flare up, those kinds of things. And again, I've never seen something like, oh, this person died, or this person got, you know, severely hurt by this. And I've even gone through like all the research and literature, and there's some people that claim people have died from ozone therapy, but when you look into it, you can't actually substantiate it. So there's 8 claims, and none of them can actually be tied to ozone therapy. And I'm not just saying semantically, like the cases don't exist that I can find. And I went as deep as I could going into like local obituaries or local news stories, or like, I can't even find this person that they say that died. There was actually one case that they attributed to ozone therapy. It was a lady in Australia that went, I think, to Thailand to get ozone therapy, and she had stage 4 cancer. But once I kind of dug under all the articles and stuff, she actually died 6 months later from cancer. And then they attribute it to, you know, so there's people that just want to condemn it. And unfortunately they don't take a true journalistic approach. They more take like, I don't like this, therefore I'm going to disprove it, which I understand. We all kind of tend to do that, but I think that's one of the things I really love about this industry, is it's like, you have a lot more freedom of thought, because it's just like, hey, what is working for people? I personally, I don't care if that's a drug or not. Like, I, you know, tend to think that drugs have a lot of negative side effects to them, but maybe there's some that don't, mm-hmm. you know, so it really doesn't matter in my opinion. It's just like, what's getting people better. So putting yourself in a box, it's going to limit yourself and what you can do for yourself. But
yeah. And since it's been around for what, about 100 years, even if there was 1,000 deaths, that'd be a lot less than a lot of popular procedures.
Yeah. I mean, I would be worried if there was 1,000 deaths, but, you know, cause I kind of like that it's so safe and that there's people that, you know, can do it so safely, especially because there's such a misnomer around it. Like, even if you did have, let's say, one death out of every million treatments, like that would destroy it because there's already this huge, like, anti-ozone concept. So you, like, we wouldn't, none of these companies would exist if it was hurting people because there's already such a pushback on the therapy itself. But yeah, I mean, it's been around for more like regularly clinically used for 100 years now. And then, it started back in the 1870s, as far as some of its clinical applications, and then picked up speed in World War I. And then, yeah, we're here today with a ton of research on it.
Yeah. For general health optimization, would you say that every a couple of days a week is optimal, or would you say more or less?
2 to 3 times a week, I think, would be totally reasonable. And I think that'll get you a lot of benefit. For serious athletes that are like really trying to enhance what they're doing, and they're especially stamina sports like soccer, cycling, you know, and I love anaerobic exercises. I like sprinting and weightlifting. But it's basically helps with endurance a lot. So a lot of triathletes use it. But yeah, 3 times a week is good, but for the maybe more serious athletes, up to 5 times a week.
And it's not banned by any sporting bodies, is it?
No, it's, well, in a manner of speaking, in the sense that like taking out blood and reapplying it to the body. So if you do an IV, that's technically banned, but it's because blood doping is banned altogether, regardless of the time window. So like, for example, blood doping is normally when you take, you know, red blood cells 2 weeks early and then administer right before an event, but they don't distinguish between that and a 5 minute window where you take blood out for 5 minutes and then put it back in. So just by virtue of that, that would be banned. But as far as like the rectal or vaginal insufflation, yeah. And you know, there's nothing, it's not like you're doing steroids that are traceable. I mean, what are they going to say? You're more oxygen efficient and healthier, but you know, that might be something to be aware of if you're super neurotic about that.
Yeah. Well, Micah, let's start wrapping up today, but before we do, where can people connect with you and Simply03?
Yeah. So for connecting with me, I do 2 videos a day right now on Instagram. The general concept of that is just building a better mind and a better body. So I do a lot of just like my personal thoughts, kind of like a journal. And so those actually seem to be doing pretty well as far as my videos. And then I do a ton of stuff on ozone therapy too, obviously, but I'm doing 2 videos a day at Micah for Health on Instagram. And then Simply03 is just simply03.com. I think you have some links that people can check out. And there's also drsozone.com, which is drsozone.com. And that's an educational website about ozone therapy. So those are split up, but essentially if you go to drsozone.com, you can find a lot more about like the education of it. And then we have an email like newsletter and all those kinds of things that if people go to the website, they can find.
Yeah. And the links to all these resources will be in the show notes as always. One other question for you, and that's, if all knowledge on earth was gone, you get to save the works of 3 teachers. Who would you choose and why?
So, well, Jesus, because I have a faith. I believe that he was sent by God. So if you have that belief, that's just a pretty logical conclusion to make, I think. but secondarily, I don't know. Could you choose a harder question? I don't know. I'll just choose people I like that have impacted me. C.S. Lewis and Jordan Peterson, I think are up there for me, from more of a personal aspect. So C.S. Lewis was kind of a thinker. He was Christian. But he had a lot of just really cool thoughts and a great thinker. And he actually, it was interesting with, the Abolition of Man, a book that he wrote, it was so similar to what Jordan Peterson was talking about recently, which I was kind of like, wow, this is like the same argument that he was saying is going to happen like 100 years ago.
Wow.
So pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know. I could think that through that more and have 100 different answers for you if I had enough time to think about it, but there's three for you.
Yeah, the first ones that come to mind tend to be the best anyway, so.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a quick rapid fire round now. What are some of the most pernicious or common myths around ozone therapy?
It's always toxic, so that no matter how it's applied, no matter how it's used, it's always going to be toxic.
Mm. What was the best life-changing purchase you've made under $500?
Under 500 bucks?
Yeah.
Maybe my own wedding ring.
Easy.
You know, I guess that, you know, I would have gotten married without that. If we're talking about health, man, the things that I really like are over $1,000. So it's sauna, ice bath, katsu, and ozone.
Oh, you do katsu.
Yeah. Those four things I'm like, I'm all in on. With Morozco Forge, I actually am working a deal with them. I'm not going to make any money off it. I just want to be tied to their brand where like all our, they're using all our ozone equipment for their stuff. Cause I just want to, I just think it's cool. I love their brand. And
oh, that's right. I remember hearing that they had like an ozone component built in, and you're saying that's Simply O3?
Well, it will be. It isn't right now. I just pitched that to them. I was like, hey, you can use our brand name. We'll get you the equipment. We won't make any money on it. It'll be a lot cheaper than you currently have, and it'll be better, and you'll have our brand name with it. And they're like, heck yeah. So I was like, and cool. I just get to see our logo and be attached to that somehow. So I was excited about that. But
cool.
I mean, you can go get cold exposure for free. Fasting for free. Those are two great things.
In creating all the Instagram posts you've done, and I guess YouTube videos as well, what was one health related thing that you realized that surprised you?
I think with ozone therapy, I didn't understand how it worked for like an anti-aging process. I always thought that was just kind of like things that people would say, but had no way to substantiate it. And then I talked to Lamberto Ray, who's like a PhD at the University of Siena in Italy, which, and they were allowed to do ozone therapy during the first waves of COVID by the government and still have that ability to do it. But anyway, he was talking about how it mitigates the chronic oxidative stress cycle. So we need to eliminate like the things that are causing a lot of oxidative stress.
Yeah.
But once you get there, you can actually mitigate like how balanced that is. And ozone therapy is able to do that. I mean, there's so many cool stories. I mean, there's kind of some like interesting like facts and tidbits, but I think with ozone therapy, the thing that always blows me away, like people with Lyme, especially that are like, I was bedridden, depressed. There was one guy that I was talking about that I was like, I made the decision to kill myself if I don't get better in a few months. And because he was just so sick, and, you know, hearing stories like that, that they're like 95, like, cause I did a series of interviews that I never launched, but, I went out to people and I said, I want people who have had severe Lyme disease who are 95% better and have sustained that for at least 2 years. Wow. And so I had this really cool, interview cycle with a bunch of those people that really just blew me away.
Bummed you didn't launch it.
Yeah. Well, what ended up happening is I had kind of this idea of what it would be. And then, I just had so many projects at the same time that I had to drop one and then just never revisited it. So I did get some of these interviews done, but didn't end up putting them out. I could probably find it. This was like 4 years ago. And if I find them, maybe I'll put them out.
Yeah. Nice. Do that. Okay, Micah, what's one thing that your tribe, the Simply O3 or Ozonaut tribe, don't know about you?
Don't know about me. I never mentioned that I was a CrossFit coach for a while. I don't know. People have such a stigma around CrossFit. I'm like, we just don't talk about that. I was an amateur weightlifter for a while because of CrossFit. I got into Olympic weightlifting. I actually trained under an Olympic coach for a number of years that went to the Olympics 3 times. Mm. And I got really into that sport, but I kind of lost passion for it. So I just never mentioned it.
Yeah.
I've also ran a couple businesses into the ground before I did this one. So I just don't mention that.
So you learned and improved.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, any parting thoughts? How would you like to wrap this episode up?
Nothing in particular. You know, I appreciate your time and just the questions and the information you're spreading. I think it's super important. And I hope for whoever's listening that they stick along with you for the long haul. Because with the way that you reached out to me and kind of how you went about it, I just love the transparency and some of the things that you brought to the table. So I know you'll deliver a lot of value for people, and that'll compound over years. So I hope you get a great audience. And then again, if people want to follow me on Instagram, that's where I'm posting most of the content at Micah for Health.
Perfect. Well, thanks for your time today. It's been fun chatting and getting to know what you're working on, some of the common myths around ozone therapy and alternative therapies. And I look forward to staying in touch and possibly doing a follow-up round once you've made some changes and iterated on what you guys have now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Nick.
All right. I'm Nick Urban here with Micah Lau, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier.
Before you go, I want to share a few things I learned from Micah today and then give you the links for you to further explore this yourself. The first thing is that ozone therapy has health and medicinal benefits both for chronic conditions and also to improve performance. It's a good first line of defense against many of the most common ailments. It's a hormetic therapy known for helping your body and cells use oxygen more efficiently. It also improves microcirculation, brings your immune system back into balance, improves detoxification, alleviates chronic fatigue and therefore increases energy, improves mental clarity, increases athletic stamina, and is commonly used to help treat a bunch of different conditions, such as Lyme, mold, autoimmune, leaky gut, gut dysbiosis, and the C word, if you know what I mean. Micah also explained what to look for if you decide to buy an ozone therapy system for health purposes. Of course, it's important to make sure it's generating high quality, pure ozone gas, but then also that the materials are resistant to ozone, which is highly corrosive. The maximum dose, also called gamma, doesn't actually matter as much as I thought it did. And that's because you can just create more ozone gas. Finally, since no one therapy works for everyone, you'll want to make sure that the manufacturer stands by their products with a good warranty and money-back guarantee. I researched many of the top systems on the market and consolidated my findings into an article that you can check out at mindbodypeak.com/ozone. Once I finish moving, I'm going to grab a Simply O3 system of my own. And if you want to do the same, Micah has arranged for a MindBody Peak Performance listener discount. Just use the code URBAN and you'll save on all of their systems site-wide. And as always, the links to everything we discuss you can find at mindbodypeak.com/52. And that brings this one home. You've made it this far, so thank you for your time. I appreciate you and look forward to connecting. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.